God. I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians 6 and 9. Galatians 6 and 9. I want my mic to sound like this one. Praise God. Galatians 6 and 9. If you don't have a Bible, hospitality will provide one for you. And I'm excited. Today is Pink Day. Today is a day of pink, representing breast cancer. Amen. That we have the victory over. We have the victory in Jesus' name. You know, we got to start preaching victory. I said, we have to start preaching victory. Amen. To my preachers, it's okay to preach some other things, but if you don't close out with victory, I don't know where Jesus is, because he has already paid the price. He's already won the battle. Victory belongs to Jesus. Praise God. I want to talk today really quick about 8 minutes of your time. Holy Spirit shall have the rest, about recognizing God's will. Recognizing God's will. And before I read this verse, there is no mistake about it that most of us, if not all of us, have had the question, what is the will of God for my life? If you don't testify to that this morning, you're probably lying. And if you've never said that, you're probably not a believer. But what is the will of God for my life, and how to recognize God's will? I'm gonna go ahead and read that verse right here. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Look at your neighbor. Don't say anything to him or her. I want you to just push them a little bit to see if they're going to faint this morning. Amen. Got to check and make sure you don't have any phony Christians in the house. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of God this morning. You know, some people are put on a show. They'll put on the show, and the real test comes. They fall over, and it's a problem if they are in your circle, because you have nobody to lean on when that time comes. And if I can't lean on you in my time of need or struggle or heartache, in my depressed state, in my stress, then I don't need you in my circle. Oh my, that's another sermon for another day. Make no mistake about it, is one of the most common asked questions today is, what is God's will for my life? It is so easy to become frustrated in the search of God's will for our lives. And the reason why it's so easy to become frustrated is because there are moments in our lives that we believe that we're in the perfect will of God, and something happens to change our minds. And I come to the conclusion to know and understand that many of us walk in error, because we actually take what's going on in our life, fabricate it to size it up what we think God's will should look like for us. And in fact, God says, no, that's not what it looks like, and you're far from it. Let me show you, but first, let me get you to that place. And so what God does is, and I want to teach this morning, but I feel pressed to say this. And what God does is he shakes things up a little bit. Amen. He puts some things in the mix that you have not thought of. Some things that you could never even fathom. God places inside of that place called life. And when those things happen, those things shake you up. I ask you to make sure, if you're not here today, to tune in to the second service. It's going to be good. And we're talking about shifting and those things that are coming into our lives that are unexpected. Amen. But it's frustrating to be in the transition of seasons, the seasons of life, due to the thought of not fulfilling God's will. There's nothing worse to be in a place of work, especially ministry, right? And ministry can be many things. Ministry can be your marriage is ministry. Ministry can be what God has given you to do concerning the kingdom. Even on your secular job can be a part of God's will. How was that, Pastor? That's for another subject, another time, another place. But this is what Paul is referring to when he says, let us not grow weary in doing good, doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The NKJV says, if we do not lose heart. I did some research about some ministers that came together. They wasn't at a crusade, they was actually at a retreat. And they came together, and I like when brothers and sisters come together of the cloth, because I believe Elder Tyrone mentioned something about that. It's a competitive world. And you get a chance to share views theologically and also to share some things that you actually have been pointing your ministry in. I'm talking about your personal self. And so while they were talking, having a discussion, they all came to the same conclusion, although they haven't come from the same places. And some of the same conclusions that they came to was that God somehow has changed their life through a series of events that they came together and all of them were on the same path. And amazingly, he did not touch them or reach out to them in the same place. But when he got to them, it was all about the same thing, because God is a God of order. And so you never should find a brother or sister that's in ministry with you, whether you're in the church here or at another church. You should never find a brother or sister that's in ministry that is completely off course of the Bible. Doesn't matter what type of degrees they have. It doesn't matter what schooling they've been to concerning divinity school. Doesn't matter the seminary. Doesn't matter the professors. You should be on the same course. However, we're not always. These group of guys came together and they were very seasoned leaders. And they begin to share their life story, and it's amazing. I'm going to share about 5 points, 5 stages this morning concerning recognizing the will of God. And they realized that they had all experienced several common stages. I'm going to give you 5 this morning, I said, that's so fascinating to them because they didn't even know each other. And there's a cyclical process that we go through that most of us miss because we're doing something else outside of the will of God. And God is saying, listen, I need you to stay in the process if you're going to progress, because I'm trying to progress you within the process. And a lot of us don't want to ride the process, but we want to experience the progress. And I'm telling you, if you're going to advance in the kingdom, that God is going to shake and rattle you. And if you ever get a person in your life, be it husband, wife, or preacher, or pastor, that has never gone through anything, that's not the person to marry, that's not the person to sit up under, and there's no way that you can counsel me. Good God Almighty. And counselship does not come with an age. Woo! Talk, 39-year-old pastor. Okay, come on. So, they came to this place. And they said, they want to know, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? And I was sitting down with my wife last night, and I was going over a few of my notes. And, you know, I like to ask her a few things. And you know what? She turned to me and said, well, I've wondered that also in my life. What is his will for me? And I found myself in a conversation with my wife, whom I have been married to since 2005. That's how you do it right there. 2005, June 25th, Durham, North Carolina. Y'all do the math. And so it was a pretty good conversation, but we came from a restaurant last night that put me in a position to minister to the waiter. And how be it, because my wife was rushing me and I had all my stuff on the table in the restaurant, that the waiter came and asked me a question that pertained to my sermon, and he knew nothing about what I had been studying. So I took it as an opportunity to pour into his life. And I don't know if he was written up at the moment, but he stood at the table for a very long time, and it was worth it. It was worth it. If he gets fired, let me tell you something, it's worth it, so that you do not go through life believing a lie. Okay. And so the first thing that they found to be so true. The first stage is the birthing process of the vision. Somebody say the birthing process of the vision. Before the vision becomes tangible, and I want you to think this morning, you don't have to really think in the limelight of business. God can give you a vision for anything and everything. In fact, nothing happens without vision. As a matter of fact, the person that you married, God gave you a vision that you would be married to such a person. I hope so. And if it's not, you later found out that he or she is not the one for me. But I'll tell you, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. If they're in the building this morning, don't look at them, but it's too late. Pastor, it's not too late. It's too late. It's too late. Hear me out. It's too late. But the vision is an envision before it becomes tangible. And what I mean by that is before you can touch it, you have to process it mentally, spiritually, before it happens, before it's relatable concerning a sense of touch. And these preachers had a vision, watch this, that was not imparted by friends, that was not imparted by family members, that was not imparted by professors, but the vision that they had, just like you and I, is always imparted by the Holy Spirit. It's imparted by the Holy Spirit. And in its infancy, the vision might have, it might have to be in the general place of what you have maybe been dreaming about. You know, a dream happens and it's not tangible yet. A dream is like, it's like prophecy, if you will. And it paints a picture, but it's a picture that you have not experienced yet. That's why it's beneficial for us to not stop dreaming, because dreaming actually enhances us to move to the next level. And I can tell you right now that if you're with somebody that's not a dreamer, then you might have a problem, because they may be stuck in the past or maybe even in the present. And that's not such a bad thing at times. But the vision was very real. Nonetheless, they said it brought them to a sense of excitement. Watch this. An awareness that it was where? From the Lord. Stage two, I like stage two, but it becomes problematic. Stage two is the place of preparation. The place of preparation. And following the impartation of the Holy Spirit, this place of preparation becomes tough, because in the place of preparation is the actual pursuit of the vision. Somebody say the pursuit of the vision. In the pursuit of the vision, during this preparation stage, sometimes this season can seem like it lasts for such a long time. Some of us have been trying to prep and process this vision with this person that seems to last a long time. And you know we operate in error when we decide to do our very own thing instead of waiting for God to shift and move us. Let me tell you something. You never go to school and graduate yourself. You only go to school to graduate when you've been tested. Sometimes God is testing us, not tempting us. That's of Satan. He tests us to see if we're ready for the promotion. So in this place of preparation, I found out that it is the foundation laying place or season that can last for days, for months, or for years. They also found in their study and research, this is good to me, that in this stage is when most of God's dreams for people are aborted. Ooh. In this preparation stages of life, is most of the time is when people commit or submit to aborting the dream that God has placed in your life. And I can tell you this morning that there are more than half of us in here that have aborted the dreams that God has placed in our lives. You gave up. I'm gonna just go ahead and serve notice. You let it go. You threw in the towel. You said, let me do something else because it's not happening soon enough for me. He's not coming soon enough for me. She's not coming soon enough for me. I think I just might make it happen for myself. All because somebody who thought they knew it all told you, baby, you got to get it for yourself. Well, sometimes it's called a waiting season. And just because it looks good, just because it has a great figure on it, does not mean that it is in the will of God for you. Just because they dress it up, just because they sound great, just because they have great pronunciation, does not mean that they are for you. You know what amazes me? What amazes me is that God used the underdogs of the Bible. And not all of them, let me use Moses for an example, not all of them had eloquent speech. Moses had a speech impediment, and God used him. I mean, come on. He says, how am I supposed to accomplish, watch this vision that you've given to me? He says, don't worry about that. I'm going to send you what you need, and what you need is already attached to you. So he sends his already attachment called his brother named Aaron. Come on, somebody. And he says, I'm going to send him with you, and Aaron is going to take care of everything that you cannot. God will staff your weaknesses if we would just stay in tune with God. Whoa, I feel good this morning. I got about five more minutes. But it's in this stage, and I may not move in this place. It's in this stage where we go to the abortion clinic of spirituality and physicality, and we go to this place, and guess what? We struggle because it's not tangible. And I've been praying, I've been paying my tithes, I've been fasting, and God, I don't see any results. Can you imagine if we were talking about Moses? Can you imagine if Noah said, God, this is impossible, I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine what would have happened to the earth? All those naysayers walking by and Noah is building a big boat. No, why are you building a boat and it has never rained? Oh, man. Why are you walking in this area? Why are you collecting all of these materials and it has never rained? Noah's saying, man, get on the boat. Get on the boat. Rain is coming. Get on the boat. I wonder how many people in your life have been Noah's telling you to get on the boat and you refuse to do so because you could not rationalize the vision of God that he had for your life. I wonder how many people have drowned because they wouldn't get on a boat. I wonder how many people have been ran over by animals coming your way because you know what? He says, I got to save the world this way and they're going to come this way in this path. Let me tell you something. It's not always the right path to go in the direction that everybody is going in. The minority got on the boat. Listen, the minority got on the boat. So doing things that's not always popular many times falls in God's will. Oh my goodness. But a vision that is not embraced and nurtured through the appropriate season of preparation will always, watch this, will always die. I've been in connection, I've been linked, I've been so-called in a place of security with people that I thought had it. I thought they had the right ideas. I thought they was on my team. And lo and behold, they was just hooking up to see. They were spectators. You got any spectators in your life? Let me tell you something. Once you identify that you have spectators, you can also note that you have some imposters. Woo! And when you have imposters and you have spectators, let me tell you something. They're not trying to take you anywhere. They're trying to see you fall on your face. Oh my goodness, let me move on. Preparation may take on many forms. Sometimes preparation involves long enduring seasons of prayer. Anybody ever been tired of praying? Y'all lying. Listen, I've been tired of praying before. God, when you gonna show up? Tired of praying. I've been there. You see, God, let me tell you why you gotta be transparent, because God already knows your mind. He already knows your thoughts. He just does not make things happen for you. You've got to take action yourself. I'm gonna preach a sermon. I've already got it written down in my mind that, you know, what you need is already inside of you. The Bible says that we have these treasures in earthen vessels. Why? So that God can move through you, so that the excellency of God stands before man and man can see that this is God coming through the thicket of things, and he's changing lives one man, one woman at a time. Let's go. Season involves an investment of time. It involves money. Sometimes it involves education, study. It may involve a time of serving someone else's vision. Woo! Nobody wants to serve anybody else's vision. What happens when you're compelled to serve the vision and next week you want to do yours? Don't you know that serving someone else's vision can help you prepare when the stage of preparation for the vision that God has given you? You've got to go through a process if you're going to progress in the vision that God has given to you. You've got to serve in someone else's vision. It gets lonely sometimes. It's a struggle to serve in somebody else's vision. Watch this. You cannot mingle in it and do your own thing. Ain't nobody know anybody like that. Don't y'all look at them this morning. No, we got a great and awesome leadership staff, right? We can't do so. But preparation, stage three, is a place of the wilderness and struggle. So if I get past, I got this birthing stage, I've got this prepping stage, and now I got this stage of wilderness and struggle. I wonder where you are. Place of wilderness and struggle. And one of the biggest, I'm going to say this, and y'all ain't going to like it, because y'all the church, one of the biggest misconceptions about discovering the will of God, and this is why we're so off path, and this is why we're doing our own things, one of the biggest misconceptions about the will of God is that if something is truly part of God's plan for you, there will be no struggle involved in accomplishing it. The devil is a lie, because Satan is trying to eat, steal, kill, and destroy. You had to eat onto that thing. He's trying to eat it up. He's trying to steal it. He's trying to destroy it. Listen, Satan is trying to destroy every single thing that God has given to you. Notice when you do it yourself, there is no struggle. It just fails. There is no fight. There is no fight. Listen, listen. Satan didn't fight with you when you married the wrong person. They just proved to you that they was the wrong person. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me move on. You know, there is no struggle. But when you are in, when you're in God's submissive will, Satan will try his best to destroy you. And that's why I'm so baffled at the men and women of God that struggle when you face adversity in your life. I'm baffled that you're struggling and that you're wavering and that you're suicidal and that you're stressed out and that you're depressed because you're going through all of this hell. You're supposed to go through hell because there's somebody on the other side that does not want you to win. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, man. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save your marriage. I'm trying to save your business. I'm trying to save your life. I know it's harsh this morning. I know it's tough, but it's so right. The wilderness and struggling stage. I said, you won't. I know y'all have heard it before. You won't struggle if you're in God's will. You won't struggle if you're in the will of God. Are you serious? You're going to struggle 10 times over. Because Satan isn't fighting you. He's fighting what's inside of you. I got to do the answer right there. If God has called you to do something, anything, if God has called you, you will almost certainly encounter a significant amount of struggle. Watch this. God may actually even allow, watch this, failures along the way in the process. You know what Satan will do? God God says, I need for this thing to fail in your life so that you'll know what it feels like. So that you know what failure feels like. Why? Because you're going to have 10 more people to come to you because they're failing at what God told them to do. And God needs somebody on the team to tell them, no, God told you to do it, and he allowed those failures. And don't you listen any word that Satan has to say to you. I know Satan is telling you it failed and it was not God, but that's not so. God allows failure. No, God will allow you to lose some things so that you can gain some things. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, y'all pray for me. Keep my composure. My shirt isn't all the way out yet. I still got my tie on. Y'all hold on. Watch this. Why will God allow failures? I got two more points. Why will God allow failures to take place along the way? Because he is more interested in the worker than he is the work. Sometimes God will even sacrifice a work to perfect a worker. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Let me tell you something. If the first business fails, then the second business cannot fail from what the first business failed from. Okay, I'm going to help you because we got some divorce season now. If the first marriage failed, then you know what to cross out in the next union. I made somebody mad right there. Okay, if the second marriage failed, then the third marriage should be greater than the first two. I'll talk over here. If the third marriage failed, then the fourth marriage, don't you do it. Okay, come on. And so, That was Shannon talking. I don't know who you are. This stage of struggle is proving, watch this, it's proving ground, watch this, of faithfulness. And there is simply no substitute for your faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I told you, vision is not tangible yet, but it's working on the inside. And everything that's working on the inside will eventually come on the outside. Okay, stage four. It's the place of realization of the vision. Oh man, this is a happy place for me. Because now the vision has been proven and is tangible now. That thing, that person, that house, that car, watch this. Whatever God promised you, peace of mind, whatever God promised you, you now just experience a little bit of it and you start to walk in it. Oh, baby, when you start to walk in the peace of God, them jokers that used to stress you out and that used to cuss out, you'll pray for them now. You'll show up at the house and say, let's go for a walk. I've got a Walkman radio. Let's listen to some gospel. Okay. I thought I was 10:30. So they found in the fourth stage in this process was a place of realization of the vision that God gave to them. And this is the place that we all are looking forward to because we can finally enjoy, watch this, the fruits of our diligent preparation and God's faithfulness. He's faithful in his word. That's why he wants you to enjoy what he has promised you. He's faithful in what he says. He will never ask us to do something that he has not been a part of. He's faithful and he's diligent and his word is real. Stage five, let's close here. The place of new beginnings and vision. Why would we get to stage five, a place of new beginnings and vision? Because in stage five, this is surprisingly a great discovery. In stage five, it is here that these leaders found themselves, watch this, being challenged once more with what? With fresh vision from the Holy Spirit. For fresh vision, for some, the vision was brand new. For others, it was to expand and enlarge the very thing that God had originally given to them to do. That's why in your stage of marriage in 5 years and 10 years, it's different from stage one. That's why you treat your house totally different in 10 years than you treated it in year one. Why? Because God has expansion in your mind. God has change in your mind. And let me tell you something, contrary to popular belief in the church, that expansion doesn't always mean bigger. Expansion can mean more space, because you can be in 2,500 square feet and be in a box with no room, but be in 800 square feet with all the room in the world. Why? Because you kicked out some jokers that was living in 2,500 square feet that can't roll with you in 800 square feet. Good God Almighty. I know it's contrary, but you can expand even in a smaller space. Oh, that was Rhema right there. Woo! Expansion in a smaller space. I don't know why I'm saying that. I don't know who I'm saying it for. But God is saying reduce reduction. Decrease the clutter in your life. And you won't expect for something to be bigger, but move some things out of the way of God. And you'll be able to breathe. You'll be able to expand. You'll be able to dance again. Get some things out of your heart, and you'll be able to love God again. You'll have your joy again. You won't be bogged down with the clutter that's in your life. Get the joy back. Get the peace back. Get the love back. Get God back. It's small space. It's a small encounter. You can do it. Y'all done messed up now. I'm really coming to a close, but I come by to tell somebody this morning, don't you give up in the process of the preparation stage. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. If it's schooling you need to go to school. Jack and roll way down at the beach. If you gotta get it together, get it together. You must stay in the will of God. If it's coming out of school, start in the ministry, start in the business, marrying that person, nothing what you imagine. Go ahead and stay in God's will. God loves us. He gives us peace. He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. What you thought really matters doesn't matter anymore. What you thought about doesn't really matter anymore. You thought they was gonna bring you joy. You thought they was gonna bring you peace. You thought they was gonna change your economic status. God says, give it back to me. Stop giving it to man. Stop giving it to the bank. Give it to me. Get on your knees. Stretch your hands up and surrender. There comes a time, who's on duty? Y'all come on stage. There comes a time in one's life where we got to get past those small things. I mean, those things that used to give us a headache shouldn't give us a headache anymore. Those things that keep you up all night, in the process of your progress, you should think bigger, you should think greater, you should pray harder, you should know how to combat the enemy. Don't stay in kindergarten. Come on up at least to the fifth grade. You should know how to pray now. You should know how to deal with your enemies now. You should know how to stand on your own two feet. You should know how to pray for yourself. You should know how to lay hands on yourself. By now, you should be close to graduating. Let God move you in your position now. Don't wait on big stuff. Don't wait on big people. Don't wait on big banks. Don't wait on the church. It's all God or nothing. Tell your neighbor, it's all God or nothing. Clap your hands in this place.
Glory, glory, glory.